Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK, and it's time for another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. Today we're going to hear all about how really we all have a mercy-given life, from Romans 11 verses 33 to chapter 12 verse 8. From the English Standard Version it reads, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory for ever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me I say to every one among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned him. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." The outcome of Jesus' encounter with the woman caught in adultery, John 8, 1-11, is stunning to us. Jesus bids the accusers, who have no sin, to throw the first stone at her. When he looks up, they have all gone away. Even the woman's judges were finally forced to realize that they too needed mercy. And then Jesus absolves the woman, and he uses these words, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Jesus had mercy on her. From this point forward, her life would be shaped by this great deed of mercy. So from our epistle lesson for today, Paul tells us that we also have received mercy from God and thereby become the givers of mercy to our neighbors in the church and in the world. Therefore, our lives too are shaped by God's mercy. However, by nature we live law-driven lives. The law tends to drive everything in the workplace, our schools, and in our community. We are ever to fill quotas, complete tasks, earn grades, and obey rules. Otherwise, we suffer the consequences of sin, failure, inability. And really, that's correct. We don't deserve God's mercy. That's an important point. And so it's kind of funny to watch some people try to take control of their relationship with God through the use of the law. Some would act like they actually obey it or do a pretty good job and so necessarily deserve more mercy than others. That's where it gets complicated. And it makes sense. That's what makes it such a strong temptation. But what we are to understand is that God's mercy is part mystery. He may be more merciful to one who, from our point of view, doesn't deserve mercy. But if no one rightly deserves mercy, who are we to judge who gets more or less mercy? That too is part and parcel to the point. And let's not forget that the only thing we have to go by in making our petty judgments is the world, whereas God has his omniscience, as well as everlasting time and space to consider. Compared to that, we haven't the faintest clue as to what we're doing, and so we make mistake after mistake, thinking God is working and being motivated around what we're able to accomplish. Rather, we are to see that salvation is his, and in no way is this concept in cooperation with what the church does today, in terms of her deeds of goodwill. Now, we may make some kind of random connection now and again, Perhaps one we know to have clung to God for salvation has done a good deed now and again. But the fact is, in the eternal picture, we are but the receiver of his salvation, and he is the one that grants salvation. And in the light of the New Testament, this has come about, of course, by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who grants salvation to all who believe that he has died for their sin on the cross and risen to bring all those who die in the faith to life everlasting at the resurrection of the dead. And the opposite is true. We may think we are supposed to be driven by fear and guilt or desire for self-glorification, self-infliction or meditation, according to the law of God. But the point is that if the only thing we are focusing on is God's law, we haven't got the whole picture. The law is to draw us to faith in the knowledge that we have salvation in our God alone. Today, salvation in Jesus Christ is as necessary as it was from the beginning, in the knowledge that God is the Redeemer and he alone can, in his mercy, release us from this life of suffering, pain, and inevitable death. And it's true, isn't it? Even as Christians, we simply usually think in terms of, I'm great, I'm miserable, I'm terrific, I'm terrible, nothing can hold me back, I'm a sinner. We think the purpose of the law is to motivate and drive us into being people who behave better, but it's not that at all. Yes, while God's law is good and shows us what we are to do, by showing us that, what it's actually showing us in real terms is what we haven't done. Yes, it provides us with a guide for right, Christian living, but it doesn't have an ounce of power to work good in us. That is not the purpose of the law. It is not the law itself which enables us to fulfill its words. If that were true, then all we would need is the law. But that's not true, is it? We need more than the law. So see this fact as truly giving you the right understanding that living as a Christian by following the law is almost of no significance. Again, following the law, even as a Christian, is almost of no importance whatsoever. What truly makes Christians unique is that they can do no good thing without the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. You tell me where it says in the law that you receive the mercy of God. It doesn't. The good that we ever receive as creatures on this earth does not come from the law, and so never comes from us doing anything. It comes from the grace and mercy of God. It comes from outside the law. It comes from what we call the gospel. Let's hope that for some of you this is still not confusing, because you may still tend to confuse the concepts of both law and gospel. So to be clear, the gospel has nothing to do with what you or I do. The gospel is what God does for you and me. And so this is our emphasis. As Christians, instead of concentrating on what we do, even for God, we ponder our lives as characterized by the mercy with which God has afforded us, God's mercy given us for the sake of Christ. Just as Jesus said he would not condemn the woman found in adultery, he does not condemn you and me. Just so. For every one of us needs his mercy. This is nothing to do with the law. It is pure love, a grace we do not deserve and never will, because we can only live by or under the law. So how is it then that we better characterize our lives through God's mercy? Just this, that our Heavenly Father, out of the depth of his riches, had mercy on us in sending us his Son to die for us. The Father had mercy on us sinners by justifying us in Christ. He declares us righteous by grace alone. He baptized us into Christ's death and resurrection. He sends out the ministry of preaching and the sacraments, and his purpose is to have mercy on all. Therefore, we cannot help but live mercy-given lives in the body of Christ, as Paul tells us when he starts off his 12th chapter. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. For again, it is by God's mercies, with our minds renewed in the Word, that our bodies are made into living sacrifices. By the mercies of God he has apportioned gifts to members of the body of Christ according to his grace. These gifts include offices in the church, but the gift of mercy received by all is to be used toward all with cheerfulness and generosity, for God has had mercy on us all. So like the woman again caught in adultery, like Peter confessing the Christ in today's gospel, like David and Paul and the centurion at the cross, we have received salvation through the mercies of God. Our lives are lived in that mercy, in the church, in our families, and among our neighbors in the world, as we carry out our vocations with mercy to all. Thanks be to God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann. I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. I hope you've enjoyed this week's message. Next week we'll be looking at Jeremiah 15 and what it means for someone to be preaching under the cross. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon on Lutheran Radio UK for another episode of the series Faith That Functions.